One of my favorite TV shows growing up was The Jetsons. And you have to be a fan of The Jetsons. In fact, I always have like five trivia questions about The Jetsons, the TV show The Jetsons. So I'm going to ask the questions right now, and you can be thinking about those. First of all, we're going to be talking today about Rosie, the maid. So that was one of my first questions. What was the maid's name? But in addition to that, what was George Jetson's dog's name? What kind of breed of dog was that dog? What school did the young child go to? What school did the older child go to? And what was the business that George Jetson did? What did their company manufacture? I loved the Jetsons because George would come home from work, and then they had this Rosie maid that was this amazing person. And as George would go around and he would spill things and then say, "Oh, Rosie, clean up." And Rosie would just be right there sweeping up after. My favorite was they had a big board, and then they would try to decide what for dinner. And they would just push the buttons on the board and automatically, like they would push pizza, and out of this machine, this amazing pizza would just pop up. And everybody thought that would be the greatest thing in the world. If we could have some kind of Rosie the maid following us around all the time, knowing we could just say, "Hey, Rosie, make dinner. Can you make me a pizza?" And Rosie would automatically make dinner. That would be the greatest thing in the world. And I think that is, how far in the future does that have to be? It might actually not be so far off in the future after all. If you have ever wanted a Rosie to be able to hear everything that you're saying, understand it all, and do everything for you, the future might be here now. Hang on, everybody. Welcome to the Voice Box. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Our guest today is Igor Yablokov of Prion. Igor, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Igor, first of all, I got to ask, did you know any of the questions about the Jetsons? Do you know the dog or the breed or the school or his occupation?
I think the dog's name is Astro, if I remember.
Okay, you got one of the five, one out of the five right there. Any hope for the
okay.
rest?
And I think Sprockets, is that
what Very good, Spacely Sprockets, Spacely Space Sprockets. Very okay, you got two of the five. Anything else?
No, I don't think, obviously you mentioned Rosie, but I don't think I would know those schools.
Okay. Never mind. We'll answer them by the end. Well, I don't want to take up too much time, but we just let you know that you got two out of the five. So good for you right off the bat. You're on top of things, and you are basically creating the Rosie of the future, right?
In a manner of speaking, I mean, I think some of us are disappointed if SoftBank is going to decommit from their investment in Pepper. You know, because that seems like the perfect body for that type of innovation. And I know just recently in the last week, Tesla was talking about a bot, you know, that maybe is a part of their imaginations as well. And I know Boston Dynamics is working in this area as well. So it's all entirely plausible and possibly in our lifetime as well.
So give us the scoop. What do you do, and what are you creating? What's your piece of this technology puzzle?
Sure. I mean, if you talk about those robots, in order for them to do something, they need to access a library, right? And so we work at the intersection of artificial intelligence and knowledge management. For businesses. This is where, in order for us to perform any work, we need to have decision support. We need to have knowledge access. And as a result of the myriad of different applications and data sources that we have at work, how do you shorten the distance between what a field service agent needs to know, a customer support agent needs to know, somebody in the dock, somebody in the cafeteria, just anywhere, so that they're making the best decisions possible? That's what we're working on.
So spell it out for me a little bit more. What exactly is this? Is someone your tool, your product, your software? I'm able to ask questions. I'm able to give them forms. They're able to read websites. They're able to understand everything. Like, hey, here's, it's like almost like a teacher at a school. Here's a paper, read it and grade it. I mean, it's that, we're to that point almost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, so you know, one of our early backers was Steve Case of AOL fame, and certainly, you know, in their heyday, they owned the home portal, right, where people would sit down and onboard themselves to the internet through the AOL portal. And we envision a similar thing existing in the business environment as well. When you go into work, you sit down and in front of you is the Prion portal that has all of the horizontal and vertical knowledge you need in order to do your job, from things like safety procedures, compliance, all of your benefits, pre-sales information about your products and services that you have to relay to folks that are calling on you. This would all be displayed on a console in front of you. And you don't have to worry about where it sits, you know, what some people call a system of record. So it could be sitting in Salesforce, it could be sitting in Confluence and box folders and things of that sort. And instead of you hunting for this information, you can talk or type right into the portal and get an instant answer a second later with this, you know, some sort of piece of information that you need in order to perform your work.
So I have to jump in here and ask, Igor, you and I worked together at Yap. You hired me to come join you at Yap, and we had quite an adventure there building speech technology. Is Prion in any natural way? Do you consider it a follow-on or a successor to the legacy of what we were doing at Yap?
I believe so, because at that time, we were essentially building these language models that were based on data that you and I decided to put in there. Obviously, your team was doing a great job of that. Here, the enterprise, the business decides what to put into it in terms of returning those results. So it's not pre-built models. It literally builds the information from the application data or the document data that they have so that they can pull answers out of that. Whereas, as you well know, right, having worked at Amazon and all of our colleagues that are, you know, working behind the scenes at Apple Siri or Google Assistant, you know, and many times there's, you know, a couple dozen, you know, pre-built models for certain domains that the mass market uses. That's certainly the first step. Whereas how do you do that for a business? You know, where they're all completely different. They all have different applications, all different data. And while they're similar, you know, if you compare one insurance company to another, they're completely different because of the different client data that they may have, even though they may have a similar regulatory environment. So it's giving these businesses the ability to generate their own models in a minute for themselves.
Literally in a minute, or are you speaking metaphorically?
Literally in a minute.
Wow. That's impressive.
Igor, let me back up a little bit here. I'm like a total simple guy. And there are probably other people who are listening who are not as in-depth and super tech as you guys are. So if you had to describe to someone what Prion does in like 20, 30 words or less, how would you capsulize exactly what you do?
So everybody's familiar with Alexa or Siri at home, right? This is where you say something and a second later you get an answer, whether it's news, weather, sports, music, and things of that sort. That construct doesn't exist at work, all right? Because most of our workplaces are fragmented environment where we have bits and pieces of information all over, stored all over the place in different applications and different content stores. So what Prion tries to do is harmonize all of that information, merge it all together so that you can talk to it and still get that 1 second answer, but it's pulling the answers from your own company's information, not from what Amazon has and not from what Google has, for instance.
Because like, I always hate to do this whenever we're talking and we mentioned Alexa or Siri, and it turns on people's speakers while they're listening. I hate to do that. But so right now, if I have my smart speaker device, it's logged into the internet and whatever, mm-hmm. and you can fetch answers that way. But this would be like your company or whatever, your own personal little device that would only be accessing the information that's personal to you on your own company basis. Correct. Is that kind of
that's,
it?
That's,
it's like your own little pet, your own little pet. Alexa, right?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And we thought that that, you know, if you think about, you know, the smartphones, right? Smartphones, when the iPhone was released, you know, everybody started adopting them for personal use, but it took a while until the enterprise features were baked in. Essentially, the company features, professional features were baked in, like security, VPNs, and things of that sort. Same thing with these AI assistants. You know, they were designed for mass market in order to get the economies of scale, and there was great work, you know, done by big tech companies. But in order to come to work, there was differing requirements for accuracy, scale, security, and latency in some ways. We had to create tooling to allow these companies to push their own content in there. We had to integrate into If you're familiar with these skills that you leverage with the Amazon Echoes, this is for turning on your lights and your water features and things of that sort, but you needed a comparable set of skills to tap into your customer records, your enterprise resource planning, your financial records as well. And those had to be purpose built. So that's what makes it similar and different from what you have at home.
So would everyone have like their own personal little Prion speaker on their desk and they'd say, hey, Prion, what's the current rate for life insurance for a 62-year-old, whatever like that? Would that be what they would do on their own and then would just tap into the company's information?
They could. I mean, right now we're focused on desktop and smartphone. And I know a mess of other companies are working on great hardware, like Cobalt and Wallflower collaboration being an example. So we don't create the hardware for these systems. We're just focusing on being able to generate these knowledge models basically from an enterprise's content. That's where we focus on. Everything else we partner.
And it seems like back in the old days, back when you were working with Jeff, it was a little bit more voice and speech. Have you gotten away? Is Prion like not as much voice and speech and a little bit more reading text now? Or
that's a fair depiction, because I think enterprise environments, if especially in contact centers, are as people are really close together, they tend to actually do things quieter with text and graphical interfaces versus voice interfaces. Voice interfaces, tend to do a great job at home and when you're in vehicle. And maybe there's a play for it in field service, right? As workmen are out and about, but in a normal office environment, it tends to be quieter and where people are just in front of consoles. So you can think of it that way being a priority.
And is there a future then in getting more into speech and voice just turned into sports in my mind right there. So is there a future? Because I know a lot of people, especially now more people working remotely from home, it would be easier for me just to have a little smart speaker on my desk or something like that and be able to speak to it. Could that be where the direction is going and making it more like that? Or what do you see?
It could be. I mean, it could be. One of the things that we prototyped is creating an Alexa skill in order to tap into the Prion knowledge bases. And so that's, one way that could be done. But at the same time, I think, many of these big tech companies are giving limited capabilities for some of these applications. And so something more purpose-built, like what Cobalt and Wallflower are doing together, may make more sense. And that way a company can control what's happening. But other than that, I mean, smartphones tend to work, reasonably well. Desktops work reasonably well. Before standing up the last company, I headed up the multimodal research area at IBM, and we really thought about giving people choices, right? Yeah, because they're going to be in these different environments even through the course of a day, and they still need to access the same information, whether they're, as you mentioned, at your desk, whether you're in vehicle traveling between work sites, in travel situations and the like. And frankly speaking, you need to be able to access the same information, but it needs to transform itself into the most efficient way to consume it in these different scenarios. And so that's why, we believe in giving people a choice.
Yeah, I can just see, I'm picturing this office where everyone's got like some kind of little Prion desktop smart speaker and somebody walks in and says, hey, Prion, what are the numbers from last night or whatever? And all of a sudden everybody's speakers like go crazy and they're all answering, and it wouldn't be as effective and efficient if you just had a one person speaker.
Darren, I mean, I kind of like the separate hardware example, but one of the things that I've been hearing in these enterprise circles is just the diminishing acquisition of things like even handsets that used to be prevalent all over these office environments in lieu of soft phones. So I think nowadays people just have their laptops or desktops, and the majority of you know, telecom and related resources that they access are software based. And so it just becomes easier for them to manage, you know, through MDM and pushing these apps to people's desktops than it is, you know, to deploy a whole bunch of hardware that sometimes, you know, becomes obsolete. You know, it's hard for companies to make money on hardware unless they are the big tech companies where they can get the economies of scale by stamping out millions or if not tens of millions of these units, like Jeff did with the Echo.
So, Igor, I have to make sure that I understand what you guys are doing. I think what I'm hearing is there's two different aspects of what you're doing. One is ingestion of data from, I don't know, emails, company websites, whatever. That is that you're able to take the information, natural language understanding, and, you know, and extract the information so that you have the information. And then there's the other side of the coin, which is the natural language queries to be able to say, you know, for me to ask, you know, what's how many days of vacation do I have left this year or something like that, right? So there's those two sides of the coin, if you will, for Prion. Is that right?
Yeah. And let me get a crisper here. First of all, a lot of the folks that work here as well worked on the Watson supercomputer for Jeopardy. So this is David Nahumo and team worked on that system in the past. So imagine having your very own Jeopardy supercomputer that's answering questions from your own personal content store. So that's the first thing. The second thing, how would this be leveraged in real life? So Georgia-Pacific, you know, is one of our clients, and they ingested a whole bunch of safety and compliance and regulatory-oriented information for all of their safety supervisors as they go through different plant environments. So for example, you can have, you know, a repair person looking at a briner and saying, hey, how do I fix paint chipping in this briner as they're looking at this piece of equipment, and out would pop the answer, go ahead and repaint it. And not only that, a picture would show up of other folks that have submitted reports about how they solved those particular conditions. Even though those solutions were stored in some folder somewhere as PDF files. It didn't matter that these things are PDF files, PowerPoints, Word files, websites, as Darren mentioned, they would all get merged together. And what's interesting is this actually unifies the user experience. So it's this question answer system, but you don't care what application or document the answer is coming from. You're just getting that answer in 1 second without having to hunt through. For example, if you take something like Atlassian Confluence, which, you know, for normal folks out there, it's a type of internal Wikipedia. If you go ahead and type in, you know, what's our data retention policy on their system, what you'll get is a list of documents that display with the keywords highlighted. You ask that very same question in Prion. You know, after it ingested the wiki data, it would tell you between 30 days and 7 years. It would just tell you the answer. So if you actually look at how much time is wasted by a typical knowledge worker, it's about an hour a day of hunting for this information. And so over time, this adds up. For instance, we have another client that feels like they're going to be saving 70 minutes per day from their contact center agents, you know, staying on hold and hunting for this information. So it's very easy to get to a business case then.
That's very cool. And so this is why, you know, it's easy for us to think of this as like an enterprise Alexa, but it's not that really, because it's more like the Jeopardy example that you gave, right? Where it's just a smart assistant that knows everything about your work environment. And the interface, if I'm at work, the interface, it's probably more natural for me to like type in a search query than for me to speak to it, especially if I'm in an office with 20 people surrounding me. I don't want necessarily everybody to hear what I'm asking. I don't want to disturb them. And I also don't want to activate anyone else's devices there.
Yeah, and think of leveraging this in a hospital environment. We have another client wanting to use this in the ICU to quickly call up SOPs and similar procedures in those environments. This thing can't fail. I mean, meanwhile, you know, before you know, coming here to film this with you, you know, I have this skill that supposedly turns on an IoT device, and I ask it to turn something on, and it never happens. And I almost think it's like the physics slit experiment, where in some parallel universe, the shower turned on or a light bulb turned on, and nobody can explain why it happened because the command, the skill, the Echo skill went somewhere else. That can't happen in an ICU. Somebody needs a piece of information. They need to get it in a second, and it cannot fail. So part of this is just the robustness that's baked in here, where these environments and very serious environments are willing to pay orders of magnitude more, you know, for something that's a bit more robust and resilient. Whereas, of course, you know, the name of the game on the consumer side is to make the entry point as price efficient as possible, so that, you know, these systems can get to as many folks as possible. That's what makes it similar and different, you know, from the standpoint of how it's constructed as well.
Igor, I love everything you're doing. It gets me excited about what's happening with the future. So if you could, you have your genie in a box and you're going to rub the box, the genie pops out and can grant you any wish with voice, speech, technology, whatever innovation, what would you wish for to make your life and job better and more efficient? Any ideas?
Well, I think Jeff and I need lifetime employment. So any sort of shortcut to innovation isn't necessarily something that I would, you know, compel for myself any more than that. I think, you know, ultimately what's interesting about innovation is we're building layers on top of previous layers in some ways. And so it is a community effort in many respects. And I think, you know, having, you know, think of this, you know, having perfect accuracy in every language, you know, what does that buy you? You still have a problem in the comprehension stuff that comes next. And the fact is, humans misunderstand each other as well because of all the subtleties, you know, whether you're a native speaker or not, and all the, you know, if you don't, you know, access the same pop culture. So that's hard, you know, so I don't know how to wrap my mind around that. I think we live at the perfect moment where we have, versus, practitioner that might have been working in this in 1980, we have processing power, we have memory, we have networks. Just enough is figured out so you can do some interesting things, but not everything's figured out, where we still have hard problems to tackle. So it's almost like the Goldilocks moment now for speech recognition, where it's usable, but there's still a little bit of a moat and some friction to getting it working just right. I think excites a lot of practitioners. So I'll argue, I remember when Jeff and I were, you know, first started working together, it was still early. I mean, things, you know, there was no cloud computing. I mean, we had to, work with a team to create their own research grid. I can't even imagine how long, you know, some of those models took to train and sourcing data and what have you. It's like imagining a little stagecoach, you know, going over the countryside to deliver a message. So I feel like we're in a world of plenty now. But, you know, if I think ahead over the course of the next decade, what's exciting is these new augmented reality experiences, where I think our connection to nature is going to be greater. We're going to be able to look at something and understand it more, because we can say, how much water do you need? Where did you originally come from? Do you have enough sunlight? How do I keep pests off of you? What type of food do you need? The fact that we're going to be closer to our environment, because of the fact that we can have greater context for us existing in a particular space, I think is the most exciting advancement over the course of this decade. And so a lot of hard work is gonna have to happen before that works, but that's, singularly that, plus everything that's happening with wearables and health, are probably going to be the two biggest contributions that our field is going to provide for folks over the course of the next decade. So it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next decade and see what's going to be coming. By the way, before we let you go, Little Dipper Elementary School was the elementary school. Jupiter High was the high school, and Astro was a Great Dane. So there, I had to like bring you, loop you back in on the three answers with the George Jetson trivia questions.
That strange. So,
brush up.
On they didn't have Little Dipper and Big Dipper. That would have been the obvious one.
It would have been. It would have. Maybe the Big Dipper was like the middle school. Maybe that was like the junior high, Little Dipper Elementary, and then there was the Big Dipper Junior High. But nobody on the show went to that, so we never found out. And then they graduated to Jupiter High.
I don't think the writers have autism, because I would have kept with the planetary theme all through, or I would have gone with the constellation all through. Now, so.
Okay, I'll put you in touch with the producers. Okay. Right.
Igor, it has been great talking to you on the Voice Box today. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll stay in touch.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
See you, Igor.
Bye.
So, Jeff, I am excited now about the prospect of what this really could be. I mean, this is really letting individual companies have their own access to everything they need. It's sort of like he was talking about the Watson computer on Jeopardy. Every company would basically have that, and gives every employee access to all the information they need. I mean, he talked about an hour a day. It would save me like 2 to 3 hours a day with that. And this could be just so landmark revolutionary for businesses, right?
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about what he was saying, what it all really comes down to is real understanding of documents of the world and so forth, of everything around you. So not just, you know, having the text, but actually understanding what's going on. And if you need computers to really understand it and really be able to respond to a natural language query to say what is, you could ask questions about company policies or inventory or whatever it is that you're looking for. That'd be great.
Yeah. By the way, six.
Six is what?
That's how many. Six. You have six vacation days left. I just checked. You asked earlier, and
I'm in trouble because I'm just leaving on a 2-week vacation right now. So, I needed that help. A week ago before I planned it.
See, had you had that, this wouldn't be an issue right now.
I would not be in trouble right now.
Like even all those things, like HR things, I'm like, how, you know, what is my vision insurance policy let me do? And I could like answer some, ask question like that, or what was my day of employment, or what's, and I could just text in, have a little query bar and text in and get the answer of all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It would be so much simpler.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So let me tie this into speech and voice. What can you see? Because there are some limitations with everybody having like a smart speaker on their desk or something like that.
Right.
Or are there? I don't know. Would it be able to recognize the voice? So if I have my smart speaker, my speaker knows my voice and knows when I'm asking and everyone else's doesn't turn on? Or what do you see? How could you tie into this and make it more efficient?
Well, there's certainly that. There's using speaker identification so that the speaker responds to its owner and not to everybody else, right? And you already see that. Like right now on iPhones, Siri responds to my voice, but if my wife and I are sitting next to each other and we're both talking to our phones, it's good at blocking out the other person. I don't know if people have noticed that, but Siri responds to its owner's voice and has trained itself to do that.
I'm sort of like that phone too. I'm able to block out my wife's voice too when there are things that are going on. Okay, keep going.
But there's another aspect. You know, I mentioned when we were talking to Igor that there's two sides of the coin. There's the ingestion, being able to process the information, and then there's being able to talk about it and answer questions about it. And we keep focusing with the voice on the answering questions about it, where you're interacting with this service, asking questions, getting a response. But there's also voice processing on the other side. So there may be a company meeting where some policies were announced, or a phone call where someone made some promises about, we'll have this to you by Thursday or whatever. You also want to be able to ingest that speech information and recognize it and understand it and put that into the database that you're being able to then answer questions about. So there's voice on both sides of that, on processing and inputting data, and you know where you're going to get that information, and then on the other hand, being able to answer queries about it. So I think voice has a role to play in more than one place in what Prion is doing.
Okay, one more quick last question for you, because I could ask questions all day long about this, because I really think it is revolutionary and could really be changing. Is this something that do you envision, and you're not Prion, so you don't know their company plans. Is this something where as a company, I would say I'm going to buy Prion service, or is this something that's going to get taken over by like a Microsoft or something like that and have it baked into Office tools or something?
Those are both possibilities. I don't know how that's going to play out, but you know, a lot of startups have the hope that they will be acquired by and integrated into some larger package, whether that's something from one of the big seven tech companies or something more specialized for enterprise software or something like that. I expect that for a while, Prion will be, its own thing. You'll have to, buy it from Prion. And at some point, it may get acquired and integrated into Office Suite or Google Docs, Google Apps, or who knows, whatever. But it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
That's my goal. Every day I wake up and I hope Google is going to take me over. Like, okay, Google, I'm ready for you. You can come. Okay, let me. One more quick question for you. This is a trivia question. See how much you were paying attention, which I found very intriguing when Igor was talking. He was talking about our smart speakers, and he said we have them control our lights, and he mentioned one other thing that people might have it control in their house. Do you remember the one other thing he said of having it control besides the light fixtures? The other
thing? I do not remember. What did he say?
He said a water feature. I'm like, is that the number two thing? Is like they have smart speakers control light and water feature. I actually have a water feature, and then like I have never had it control my water feature, but I just love this now. So I can just say, Alexa, turn on the water feature. I'm going home. I'm changing this now. I'm going to make this happen. So I'm going to say, turn on the waterfall.
So I got to tell you what I have voice activated in my house is one of these marble run things where, you might see that, So I set one of those up and I have it at voice activated so that I can say, Alexa, turn on the blah, blah, blah. And it does. I provide hours of entertainment.
Each his own. Hey, thanks everybody. Hopefully you've been able to see a glimpse of the future of what life could be like for you and how speech and voice are going to work in this to make your life easier. Thanks for joining us. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. We'll see you next time.